The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now let's listen to Sheikh Salim Bimji.
You'll recall that yesterday when we were discussing the topic, as we've been going through every night, trying to build up to the climax and the conclusion, we looked at the issue of the youth and the guidance that they need. And we talked about the fact that we understand this to be a give and take relationship. That the elders of the community, the leaders, the scholars, they have an obligation to give. But at the same time, and the youth are taking, but at the same time, the youth also have to give. We mentioned that it is not enough for it to be a one-way form of guidance. The youth need to want it for themselves to learn about the religion. We reflected on the verse from chapter 18, Surah Al-Kahf, where Allah told us that those were youth who believed in their Lord, and so Allah says, وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَىٰ, that we increase them in guidance. But the key of that verse was that they were youth who believed in their Lord. They had that active awareness of God. They did what they had to do to protect their faith in those very tumultuous times, and then Allah reciprocated. And so we drew that conclusion that we as a community need to work together, but also that the next generation need to also want to have that guidance, and that they actually also are actively seeking it out. We move on tonight in the next stage of our review on this topic. And although up until now we've looked at many of the challenges that our community face, not only the youth but many individuals, actually our entire Muslim community, our followers of Ahlul Bayt of all ages and persuasions, are going through challenges and difficulties in maintaining their conviction and in their faith in these very difficult times, we recognize also at the same time that we have a lot of tools in our arsenal, in our disposal. If we start to reflect even on the du'as that we recite, that the du'as that the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt have given us, they actually somehow allude to a lot of this corruption and, you know, excessiveness in the usage of technology. You know, if we just think about how many times we can't sleep at night, we have insomnia, and we'll go onto our favorite app and we'll just start scrolling and looking at content, reading articles that have no benefit, watching YouTube videos that are completely irrelevant, you know, how things are made. Okay, it's great, I know how they make a bathtub. How does that benefit me in life? And then I'm reminded of the dua, if I'm not mistaken, it's the dua for dhuhr namaz. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min nafsin la tashba, wa min qalbin la yakhsha, wa min ilmin la yanfa. O Allah, I seek protection and refuge in you from knowledge which does not benefit me. Right? Why am I wasting time on things that have no benefit to me? No usage in this world, but I'm sitting there scrolling for hours and hours on end, as I see many times our youth do on TikTok, from one video to the other, just hours and hours go, spending, watching people do frivolous things. And many times this is haram with the music that is there, the actions that are going on. But these du'as that we have, brothers and sisters, that we have from the imams and obviously the Prophet, if we begin to sit and reflect upon them, like this one, I seek refuge in you, Allah, from knowledge which gives me no benefit. It would be better to say, okay, I can't sleep, let me pick up the app of the Quran and read Quran. Maybe go through a lecture. Find something that will give me benefit. If not religious, maybe something to do with your school studies. Something that will offer us a benefit in this world and in the world to come. You know, something that will give us that betterment to make ourselves better believers. And so as I conclude in the next couple of minutes, as we say that this technology has benefits, as we've said, we're all using it tonight. We're using a microphone, we're using lights, we're using speakers. But we have to recognize that there are also impacts to our health. Our spiritual health suffers. Our mental health can go through challenges by engaging in this. And as we mentioned even in the theme of our topic, that this excessive usage of the social media applications, when it's focusing on me, myself, and I, this can get us to forget ourselves, our surroundings, to forget Allah, where we're only focused on the self, on the physical self, I mean, and not worried about our true inner self. When we forget Allah, and you know, when we forget Allah, as the hadith or the verse of the Quran mentions, Allah says that don't be like those, He says, who have forgotten themselves, because they end up even forgetting Allah. Right? When we forget our true nature of who we are as human beings, that we have to have concern for others, we have a concept of humility in Islam, of humbleness. You know, where Allah says, for example, don't attribute piety to yourselves. فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't think of yourselves to be these great pious people. Right? You may be a good believer, but don't brag about it. But technology and these applications make us to brag about even our perceived acts of worship. And so we have to be careful, brothers and sisters, that yes, we use technology within the limits, that we are, you know, not going to go to the extremes. We have to moderate what we are doing. We have to recognize that these applications are there, but many of them are not there to help or benefit. They are there more to continue to feed our ego, to get us to be more concerned about our own personal image. We forget about our Muslim believers. We forget about mu'mineen around the world who are suffering. We forget about our own community members who are going through troubles and struggles in life. And ultimately that this will be our own downfall, right? It will be our loss that we will have to face. It won't affect others, it will affect us. And obviously that effect that we will face in this world is minimal. What we face in the world to come will be even greater, because we will actually reap what we have sown in this world by forgetting our true nature as Muslims, those who submit to Allah. We'll forget our connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which obviously in the world to come will be manifest in a way which we could never have even imagined. And ultimately, you know, if we live to see the time of the Imam, this self-centeredness, this egotism that I have, this I am the center of attraction, may even mean that we refuse to support the 12th Imam. It may mean that we will be like those people in the camp of Umar ibn Asad, where Imam Hussein alayhi salam could stand in front of them as he did on the day of Ashura and deliver a lecture and sermon and words of admonition. And they would ignore him, and the Imam would reply to them that the reason why you are hearing my words but you're not listening and taking heed is because you have filled your stomachs with the impermissible. Not only their stomachs, but their minds were probably also filled with the haram. And God forbid we get to that level, brothers and sisters, where our minds are filled with the impermissible, that the Imam makes that call and we refuse to hear the Imam and his call for support.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Adi Ali. حالي حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور صلي على محمد
وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.